Waiting and switching off my phone. I wouldn't want to shout the happy chapter.
All right, with that in mind, everything at 6:30, I do declare this meeting open and begin with our opening statement. Council acknowledges that we meet on the traditional country of the Paramakingana people. We pay our respects to ancestors and elders past and present as the custodians of this ancient and beautiful land. Together we'll care for this place for generations to come, and in this context, the decisions we make should be guided by the principle that nothing we do should decrease our children's ability to live on this land. So we do have two apologies this evening, one from Councillor Boyd and the second from Councillor Parkin, and we do have a couple of leave of absence requests. So the first one being for Councillor Melanie Selwood from the 13th to the 14th of May. So Councillor Cheetah, you're happy to move that way?
Yeah.
Councillor Pascali to second. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We have a second leave of absence from Councillor Gill from the 13th to the 20th of May. So Councillor Cheetah, you're happy to move that? Sorry, I'd like to second. Leave of absence, Councillor Pascali. All those in favour, please indicate.
I have a question.
You can answer the question.
How long was, when was the last meeting she attended?
Oh, that's in the agenda on page.
Thank you. I'll look for it.
I haven't got that in my agenda.
Hang on.
It's the honesty.
It's in page number
10.
10.
Yeah, page
11.
No, 11. Yeah, 11's for the meetings.
Thank you. Sorry.
So 25th of March. Yes, Councillor Grant.
Yeah, just a question, and I might end in the back.
Sure.
If I may.
Yeah.
The question is, did Councillor Gill supply any reasons to yourself for a non-attendance?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm not aware of a particular reason.
Oh, all right. Can I enter the debate?
Yes.
This falls back to a discussion we've had previously about leaves of absence and non-attendance, and tonight is another night where we have a low level of attendance. In the past, we failed to meet a quorum, and I think that places an additional burden on those of us who do turn up and are keen to keep the business of this local government running. I think anyone who runs for elected government is to be commended, but there are responsibility each of us adopts when they do so. And all of us engage in different ways with the community, make connections with community groups, sporting clubs and interest groups. We attend the community forums, council workshops, engage on consultations, read agendas and reports, attend budget days. But there's only one duty that's mandated in the local government, and that's attendance at these meetings. And it generously allows two out of three meetings to be missed. And I think when somebody fails to turn up 50% of the time and probably doesn't meet community expectations, when an elected member misses three meetings in a row, it does not meet legislative expectations. Now, I have no grievance with Councillor Gill at all. In fact, her non-attendance is an issue because when she attends, she's a good contributor. But everyone must attend. And last year, she attended 8 out of 19 meetings. And two of those attendants were part attendants, as in she left early. She's attended 2 out of 7 meetings this year. Has attended 3 out of 9 workshops this year, one of them part attendance, meaning she left early. I think it's time that we grappled with the issue of non-attendance in this chamber. For this reason, I'm going to oppose Councillor Gill's request for a leave of absence. Now, I think everyone should be aware that if we refuse the request for leave of absence, it's not a sudden death activation of the Local Government Act, but it is a warning shot. Now, were we to trigger the section of the Act that's relevant, It would require another motion at another time. And we'd have plenty of time to consider that. And Councillor Gill could perhaps explain where she is tonight. And she may have good reasons. But I think as part of elevating the discussion about non-attendance and the importance of that we all adopt when we come and we regularly turn up, I'd encourage people to not support this. But it doesn't mean, as I say, Councillor Gill will be removed from office. She will not be by this. We're simply expressing our displeasure, and I'd encourage people to do that by voting against this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Grant. Would anyone else like to speak to the debate? Councillor Scully.
Thank you. Very good, Acting Mayor. I hear what you say, Councillor Grant, and I completely take that on board. I just, first of all, there's no legislative requirement for Councillor Gill to explain her leave of absence, and I respect that part of the legislation because we've all taken leave of absence at various times and it's never been questioned. Her reasons for her absence from the Chamber, I don't believe it's up for us to debate or to question. It could be, and I'm just saying it's a hypothetical, it could be a work health and safety issue, which it is therefore a requirement for the CEO and the Acting Mayor to deal with, and it's not for us. We've just adopted a work health and safety policy, and as I said, when we adopted that policy, they are just words on paper until we test it. And I think this is a test of that in a way. 5.3 of the policy says council is committed to ensuring council member safety and cultivating a supportive environment where all persons feel valued and safe from physical and psychological harm. 5.4 then says Adelaide Hills Council does not accept unsafe behaviour and encourages everyone to address safety concerns, including speaking out if they personally experience or witness unsafe behaviour. I would say that even in the absence of someone to speak up is fair. And I take it that Councillor Gill has her reasons, and it is up to her whether to share that with us. And I also believe it's up to the Acting Mayor and the CEO to make this call, and not necessarily for us. I'm concerned about the precedent it can set if we start debating leaves of absence, because quite often we do it for personal reasons, and we do have lives, and we do give a lot. And like yourself, I would not dispute that Councillor Gill does not contribute to this chamber nor to her community. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Scully. Anyone else like to debate the item? I reply, Councillor Chair.
Yes, I will thank you. I guess just a couple of comments on the debate. I guess this is the first time in my recollection that we have debated Chino policy. I think that was the thing to debate her current leave of absence. But I don't disagree with some of the challenges and concerns about attendance, and I probably wouldn't call it a burden, but I guess the expectation on others to make sure they attend, to make sure they need quorum, because yes, ordinary meetings are one of the key responsibilities of being an elected member, hence the fact that there is some legislation that indicates a level of non-attendance to where there may be consequence. But there are many other aspects of being an elected member outside of ordinary meetings, and that is engaging with your community. Now, I've had a couple of conversations today where I've received feedback that the Councillor Gill is still getting involved in community groups and individuals in conversations to represent her community. That needs to be considered when looking at the picture of participation in council. We do have some legislation and an act that sort of dictates some potential consequences should you fail to attend three meetings in a row without a leave of absence. I guess that's probably why we have a leave of absence in front of us, because that's the mechanism to protect yourself from having to navigate through that. And if Councillor Gill had decided she was no longer wanting to participate in council, and that would be a different course of action for her to take. But But I think leave of absences are tricky. It's not like a workplace where you apply for sick leave, you apply for annual leave, for bereavement leave. You are able to have your reasons as your reasons. I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, assume positive intent. I don't know what's going on in Councillor Gill's life. I don't know the circumstances, nor am I, in my mind, or the chamber entitled to those. I do understand sometimes it can give context, and at times when I've needed leave, I have provided context. Sometimes even medical context, which is sometimes uncomfortable, but I felt the need to share that. But I don't think there should be an expectation placed on someone, especially if it's not required by any policies or legislation. So I still support leave of absence. I can have a motion.
Okay, with debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. Those against, may the motion carry. So we'll move on to item 3.3. There is no one absent. We have our minutes of the previous meeting at item 4. Would someone like to move something?
Circulated.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder for the minutes? Councillor Cheetah, no queries. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Does anyone have a declaration of conflict of interest that they need to declare at this point in the meeting? No? Move on to Mayor's opening remarks. I don't have any other remarks to make this evening, so we'll move right ahead to questions adjourned or weighing on the table. And we do have one question adjourned from a previous meeting around the contact officer for the behaviour standards panel. Now, there are a number of people who have already spoken in relation to this debate. So before I move forward, I'd like to give you any information you want to supply the chamber. No. Unless the elected body feel it necessary, I don't intend on resetting the debate, which means that the only two people who... Sorry, yeah, Councillor Scully.
Thank you, through the acting mayor. Am I able to ask a question on the report that we were received on?
Yeah,
you can
ask the question now.
Yes, thank you. I found this comment from Kathy interesting, and I just wanted it clarified. And that was the CEO has a responsibility and power to give directions to the staff, which clearly and always will prevail over any council policy appointment. Does that mean that no matter what delegations or appointments we put in any of our policies, the CEO can always override it?
Bill?
Through you, Acting Mayor, I don't want to elaborate on his legal advice because it's not my advice, it's Paladin's advice. I think it is clear that the legislation and the legal would override any policy. That's just a statement of fact about the structure. In this, and it is true that the CEO directs staff as a general principle. That's how organisations work. But I can't really elaborate on the specific advice in this context.
Thank you. Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure.
Should the matter go to the behaviour standards panel and one of the parties believes that the CEO has a conflict, is it up to them then to argue that he not be the appointed contact person?
Through you, Acting Mayor, there's under Section 120 of the Act, the CEO has an obligation to identify a conflict and declare it. So he would do that, but there's nothing stopping somebody raising concerns about a conflict of interest either.
Yeah, there's no more questions as previously flagged, and unless someone seeks leave of the meeting, I don't intend to reset the debate. So there is a motion from the previous meeting in front of you. It states who has already spoken, which means that Councillor March or Herman can speak to this motion if they wish to. Would either of you like to speak to the current motion that's before you? No? With Councillor Sill, who's not been, there is no life required.
I've had a look at the evidence that's been produced, and I asked for the deferral so I could have a look what the general practice was. I think there's sufficient safeguards in the policy that should the CEO have a conflict, And I'd be confident that he would identify that very early in the piece. He has the power to appoint a deputy or acting, whatever the case may be, and I would imagine being Dr. Gill. So I'm comfortable with this and appreciate the extra couple of weeks we've had. I would sit back and give a considered decision on that.
All right, thanks, Councillor. So just to make clear that what's before you is not the recommendation in the report, it's the past motion that was moved by Councillor Selwood. I tell you how to vote, but point two talks about appointing an executive governance officer, and that's the previous motion that Councillor Selwood moved. So that's what we need to vote on first. If that doesn't get up, someone can move something else.
So just a procedural matter,
yeah, sure.
On page 15,
yes,
the recommendation appointment says to appoint the CEO or the delegate.
Correct. So that's the recommendation, but where we're currently at is...
Page.
There's the current motion. So the current motion before you is on page 17. It's not bolded, it's at the top of the page, but it is what is on the screen.
Oh, okay.
So that's what currently is being about to be voted on. Well, no, you've spoken about the motion, that's fine, it's on topic.
Oh, right.
Just nice. Now with that context, you may shift the vote in a different way.
But at the moment, this is appointing the...
So this current motion would appoint the executive governance officer as a contact officer.
Right, thank you.
All right. So, yes.
Just a question.
Yes.
So the motion that's before the council to vote on is in direct contradiction to the report's recommendation.
Yes.
Thank you.
With the debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. Those against, that motion is lost. So given that the motion is lost, would someone like to do something else? Councillor Mosterstock, what would you like to move?
I'll move 7.1.1 as printed in the agenda.
Do you need to speak to the garden?
No.
Someone like to second that motion? Councillor Huxter, you like to speak to the motion? Would anyone like to contribute to the debate? Yeah, I assume no need for a right of reply then. All those in favour, please indicate. Those against, that motion is carried. Okay, we'll move on to item 7.2. There are no questions lying on the table. We have no petitions tonight, but we do have a deputation from Mr. Nigel Richards. If you'd like to come forward, take a seat. Yep, so the front, there's a little button and it should light up red. Oh, another go. Thank you. Okay, so hopefully when you apply to the deputation, you sort of read through the process, but essentially you have 10 minutes to speak on the item, and then there's additional 5 minutes for questions from elected members should they wish to ask them. And please speak to us.
Okay, well, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of tonight and the Kaurna people who are continuing and beholden. I wish to discuss the siting of the Saviour of the World Foundation Incorporated facility.
Could you just put the microphone a little bit closer? Thanks.
I've been delegated by a number of concerned residents from the Macquarie. I'm a retired medical officer, quarantine medical officer, flight surgeon, occupational medical practitioner, and I have for 35 years independently arbitrated on medical legal matters for various governments, whether they be Commonwealth, state, or international. I've lived in Rybrook for 35 years. I'm directly opposite the proposed development, and my bedroom is closest to the site concerned. Please note that another Right Road resident has applied to put forward a deputation to council to present on the night the council considers the lease. We are already in receipt of a petition with, I think, over 100 signatures objecting to the proposition. The situation as we see it, I have neutrally surveyed the street residents using a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 was considered, they considered the proposal okay, and 10 were was that they didn't consider it at all. Of the ratepayers I spoke to, the vast majority, 13 were 10, 1 was 9, 3 were 8, 1 was 5. The vast majority of Right Road residents are vehemently opposed to the siting of the Sophie from the 22 Rye Road. The best result I came across was ambivalence, and I have heard of one resident who was positively interested in the process. If the Sophie proposal goes ahead, you should be well aware that they are not welcome. Some other residents are even willing to take the matter to the Environmental Resource and Development Court. The land was originally owned by the traditional owners, and eventually Evelyn Mavis Halliday lived there for 94 years until the 30th of September 1990. Trilby, as we called her, or as she was called, her will stated that she gave to the District Council of Stirling a freehold property at Hythe Road, Stirling, for said hold the same upon trust, use said land as a recreational reserve for the general benefit of the community. Trilby was well known to the long-term now deceased neighbours Bob and Gladys Bradley and Betty Normandale, Mac Glass, who all knew her for decades. They all, like me and my wife, were also founding members of the Friends of Halliday Reserve Group back in 1997. They were often spoke with fondness of Trilby's kindness and community spirit and care. She loved the land and had run the market garden on site for many years. She was a good neighbour. She was keen that her bequeathed land would be a park to the community to enjoy. She would have approved of the Halliday Reserve future development plans within the council in 1997. The land use zoning is a recreational or sport per the Adelaide Hills Council development plans map and state planning zoning maps. It's one of the last vestiges of native vegetation in Crathers. And all native vegetation is protected under native vegetation act. There are a number of orchid species rated as particular conservation significance. We all feel that Trilby would have sympathised with the need for an animal welfare, but would not have thought that was how she foresaw her community recreation park. So far, in the last 20 odd years, the LA Hills Council has tried to sell the Helen Halliday land, sold off the land's pine tree lumber, tried to sell the Wright Road tennis courts, notionally to locate them to a swamp in the Halliday Reserve, leased the Halliday House to a council worker who helpfully acted as a park caretaker, horticulturist and Friends of Halliday Group coordinator until he was apparently declared redundant and evicted. They've installed a dog park against the wishes of the Beaton and Wright Road. They've left the house vacant for many years, despite replacing the roof and installing air conditioning many years ago, and leaving the house now boarded up. They've allowed Trees for Life to maintain the property for free. They allow dog owners to let their unleashed dogs, including prescribed dangerous breeds, to freely roam around the whole of Evelyn and Halliday Reserve and Wright Road and our properties. There's no control of vermin, such as rabbits and foxes, that now infest the Evelyn Halliday Reserve and might destructively ravaging both streets and gardens and killing what local wildlife. Possum carcasses are often found. Wright Road and access. The car park at 22 Wright Road is blind to Wright Road drivers, and entering and exiting that car park are at once a safety hazard to others and a risk of injuring themselves. Wright Road is primarily a residential street. It's in a cul-de-sac, it's not a thoroughfare. The site is not a bush-friendly refuge and has only one escape route. Animals housed there would be abandoned and trapped. The road is hazardous at night and in the fog, which is often when Sophie and Plan are proposed to sometimes be active. Sophie's Save Our Wildlife Foundation. Increased traffic is already a great street concern with children, elderly walkers and dog walkers. Widening the road is not an option without lengthy relocation of water main and telecommunications trenches and pits, lowering of the rise outside 22 Wright Road would involve major reconstruction to a major trunk sewer, which would inconvenience all properties distant from that site for about 1 or 2 kilometres over to the north side of Scouttown. Your mission appears to be to facilitate the introduction of Sophie into the 22 Wright Road at a peripheral rent, apparently $1 per annum. It's somewhat inexplicable that you would wish to do that and accept the liabilities as a leasehold. The proposed lease includes a fire access trail, a walkway, and a car park that are currently used by hiking fire access emergencies, pedestrians accessing the Mount Barker Road bus stops, and Trees for Life and Dog Park vehicles. The proposal did not include, and Sophie are apparently stating that they intend to expand the facility at a later date, and that this year they're intending to house something like 150 persons. Which, concerning Sophie herself, it is not one of numerous groups intending to animal care, ranging from.
You got about 3 minutes, just saying.
Sorry?
You got about 3 minutes then?
Okay, attending to animal care, ranging from National Parks Wildlife Service, Fauna Rescue South Australia, South Australian Nation Animal Rescue, RSPCA, South Australian Department of Ministry of Region, Animal Welfare League. According to the Australian Charities and Non-for-Profits Commission Register, Sophie's revenue mostly comes from donations. Their only secure income seems to come from the Adelaide Hills Council, the Onkaparinga Council, the Mount Barker Council, and People's Choice Community. This is about $10,000. They are in need of a replacement for their current ambulance. The board members seem to have been of short duration. They say they currently operate at Mount Thorpe in Cleveland. They are certain they rescued in 2023-24, they rescued 1,000 animals and provided 24-hour rescue service, responding to almost 5,000 calls. Their operations are around the clock, and that they're I note that their strategic objective, care, fosters the well-being and support of their members. It makes no mention of any potential neighbours. That's an inherent failing of many special interest support groups. The lease duration is somewhat open. The refuge, menagerie or aviary fails, in my opinion, to meet the definition of a recreational sporting use or recreational area. The rezoning of the land would be against the bequest. Sighting animals so close to the noisy freeway would importantly mean any animals would become habituated to car and truck noise and would, once released, become prone to being roadkill. They'd also become institutionalised with regard to approaching humans, habitations and food. They're nocturnal animals, they scream at about 80 decibels, and which are used to warn off other toxins. They would be prone to being affected by the dog park noise. They would be affected by dogs off leashes in Halliday Reserve, local foxes, vermin in the area, such as foxes, rabbits, and other vermin would seek food from the area. There'll be a loss of significant amenity to the people of Wright Road, and they're all very concerned about that. Given that you seem financially committed to Sophie for some reason, might it not be better to allow them to utilise some of your conservation park properties, such as Mark Oliphant Reserve, Mount George, Myra and Scott Creek, which are already zoned for conservation? You could simply allow them to use some of your council plans and equipment to make a road or car park and then flatten the area. They could also approach Jared and Tanya Stratton, who are already the principal board members of the Archimedes Foundation, who are going to provide $150,000 and are also general manager and owners of Stratco, who will benefit from the $50,000.
Get you to wrap it up now.
Okay. You could also provide planning approval for construction on the conservation zone land. You'd be able to relocate the possums within the surrounding conservation park. And you could lease the Halliday House to a caretaker or one of your own employees, where you could obtain a lease income from them, from your own income, and put it back in the council. You can therefore help the people of the council. I think your job really is to pay attention to the people in the Adelaide Hills community. 80% of Sophie's work is from outside the council area.
No worries. So there is time for questions. I'll allow 5 minutes. Councillor Herman, then Councillor Grant, Councillor Pascali, Councillor Munch, Councillor Tudor, if there's time.
Thank you for your very interesting presentation. Just a couple of questions I have. I'll ask the CEO the question. You'll undertake to consider the matters raised tonight when the report comes back to council. Thank you.
Yeah.
And the other, still in the hand. I mean, does the CEO have a copy of the presentation? If not, could we get one?
Have you supplied the administration with a copy of what you just read out?
Yes, there's a lot more information on that piece of paper than highlighting parts. I have to cut it down.
That's okay. Have you supplied that to the administration as part of the consultation process?
I'll send it to Lisa Smith, I think it is.
Okay.
That'd be all right.
Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Brown.
Yeah, thank you, Acting Mayor. Thank you for coming in, Mr. Richardson, for all the effort you've put into clearly researching the matter. You mentioned a petition. Is that petition going to be supplied to this council?
My understanding is that it has already been supplied prior to the submission closure date of the 22nd.
Okay.
And we only had 19 days to sort for the community to address this issue, and it was over Easter and the school holidays.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yeah, the petition will come to a future council meeting.
Okay.
Councillor Scully.
Thank you, and through you, Acting Mayor. Do you feel that the residents would object to perhaps the site being used to house a men's shed?
We haven't given that any consideration. I wouldn't wish to give an opinion on behalf of the people. I only gave a neutral view. I assessed the views of those people. I did not present them only my opinions first. I asked for their opinions. And I did not presume to give an opinion about what's new with the property. I do suspect that it was used for animals. It would take a considerable amount of expense to recondition the building for human habitation. It was used for animals, as it's sort of a veterinary practice or whatever it is that came to use. It's a very young field that they want to do.
Councillor Lund.
Two questions, but the first one is for the administration. There was a claim that we provide financial support to Sophie. Is that correct? And then what is the nature of that financial support?
Mr. Lewis, do you have the answer to that?
It's on the website of the Australian Charities and Not Profit Commission register, and I think Sophie Crossan, they also mention it.
So it may have been a grant, but the administration will follow up and get back to council.
I don't know why you would do that. Are you a philanthropic organisation?
We're going to find out exactly what it's about. It could be a grant.
Institution.
We are a servicing institution. That's correct. Councillor Chair, and then I'll come back to you.
It's a question to the administration, and acknowledge just find the answer. Yeah, there was a couple of potential uses that were highlighted tonight, and one of them being leased in a caretaker. Is that, I guess, consistent with our understanding of the use of that property in trust? Because I think something like that was indicated as not viable as further usage under the condition of the trust.
Has been done perhaps.
Correct, but my regulation is it's stopped for a particular reason, but we might need to take it on this. So,
sorry, I just have this funny feeling in mind. Councillor Chair, I just asked my question, but this is a question. Do you consider private residential use as consistent with the recreation request?
I don't think the people in the street would object to there being a caretaker on site. We've already had to call the police to do this finding abandoned items such as tradesmen's trailers, which have been stripped of tools. We're aware that Dodge Park and the area around there, think the cars tend to arrive, meet each other, and then soon depart for whatever reason that might be. Seems to be a common occurrence in various parts of the community. I've had to call the police myself. I keep a close eye on them, but I don't think people would object to them in the caretaker. I'm sorry, you certainly didn't object to the presence of Miles Christian when he was employed by the council and was, in effect, a caretaker in the park. He spent a lot of his time out in the wider area of the park doing gardening chores, but I think he also had in mind trying to establish a path for people to walk around and enjoy the stringy bark forest and perhaps minimise the impact on the area, particularly in the there are some particularly significant orchids in the area.
Is it a short question?
I'll try my best.
All right, let's share all that.
It's just, I'm not very good at this. You highlighted, I guess, lots of, like I said, different uses for the area. I mean, I only got to speak to a couple of people on Wright Road before tonight. But I guess in terms of we've gone to consultation with Sophie specifically, which I think is why we went to come to consultation, because of one particular group looking for using it. During that conversation, we did identify that it is not utilised, and it probably as a council need to utilise them well. From the conversation you had, I know you don't speak for others, is there an appetite for utilisation or better utilisation of the house and the space generally that you would consider needs to go to some consultation?
I think the general view of the people in the street who've been there for the whole saga is that the council doesn't seem to have a plan and hasn't had a plan and generally reacts. And if someone comes along and says, oh, we'd like to do this or we want to do that, they'll say, well, I mean, the dog park, that was because a councillor sat here for 5 years in council advocating for a dog park. And when the council finally had profit after paying off the Ash Wednesday expenses, they built a dog park. The councillor disappeared, went away, and she'd got what she wanted. You reacted to the problem of the councillor wanting a dog park. But the people didn't want a dog park. Then you went and asked 400 people in the... You got a... polling agency to ask 400 people a set of questions, in and amongst all those questions, which were no doubt a kind of designed to elicit a response. You were then able to argue that the majority of the thousands and thousands of people in the Adelaide Hills Council wanted a dog park somewhere. I guess they didn't want it in their own street, and I certainly know the people of Wright Road didn't want it in their own street.
All right, I think we're getting a bit off topic from the question itself.
But it's the same thing happening again.
Well, we're going out to consultation.
Yeah, well, so I think you shouldn't go much further. I think you should accept that you probably made a mistake. You probably should look at...
Well, we haven't made... I will clarify. We have not made a decision yet. Going back to your questions about the dog park, we are constantly being... Well, I personally have heard, I'm sure other elected members have, the desire to have more dog parks. Now, I'm not saying I wasn't on council to make the specific decision, but I think as an elected body that we do take on board community feedback, and that's the reason that this elected body chose to go out to consultation instead of making a decision without going through that process. So I appreciate you coming in and giving your feedback, and it will be taken into account as part of our decision-making processes. Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll move on to 8.3, which is the public forum. Now, we do have some people in the public forum. Would anyone like to speak? So just before, does anyone want to raise your hands if you're interested in speaking on the public forum? You don't have to, but...
We're speaking on the station road precinct.
Yeah, you need to speak now if you want to speak to the council.
Right, okay. Come up here.
Thanks for coming along.
Thank you.
So you got up to 5 minutes. As much as we know where you're at, you can say your name, location, what you'd like to speak about. We could probably know all about that.
Yeah, so my name is Jeremy Freeman with the Love Woodside Group. We're just here to speak about the lease from the Department of Transport to the 99 lease to council. So we just have a couple of things. We're really appreciative of the support of council. That in principle, they support this lease. A couple of things that we'd like to raise is, could we establish a timeline for this public consultation phase? So because this has dragged on for years, so it would be great for you to have maybe 3 months or something, if that's feasible. One of the other questions is, will this new lease in full be available to the public to look over in the public consultation phase as it stands now? Do we know that DIPD is open to some changes, minor changes to the lease? Or is it a sort of take it or leave it situation? A couple of questions.
All right, maybe because you've got a lot of questions.
Yes,
and actually give the administration a chance to respond.
Yeah.
So does the administration have an answer in relation to the consultation timeline when this would likely take place?
28 days, yep.
But I think the question is when will that occur? When do we anticipate we'll go out of consultation?
Shortly after.
So you have a standard dream. Great, cool. Yep. That's fantastic.
Second question is, will the full lease wording be available to the public as part of that consultation process?
Through you, acting mayor. Not generally the case, but it can be. So
in the appendices two is the draft proposed lease. Is that the full lease or is there... Okay, so Appendix 2 has the current draft full lease.
Great.
Third question you asked was, is open to any potential changes? Or you may not be able to have the ministry answer that, but I'm happy to ask.
Yeah, look, we have a good working relationship with it, so happy to ask. Yeah.
Cool. That's great. Questions.
This is fine. It's fantastic. Does the council at the moment have any plans in the lease to do other stuff, or is it a sort of an open up to the community of what everyone wants? Does council have, because there is a council what operates as a depot there at the moment, so does the council sort of have plans in relation to the Station Road precinct?
Administration.
Through you, Acting Mayor, no. We don't have master plans. It has been community led.
Yeah. Great. There's a thing in the lease about commercial exclusion. And there's a slight question about that, is if that could be somewhat clarified for when there's like community events and there's people selling coffees or trinkets and other sorts of community events there, and we like sell firewood and ask for donations and things, whether that is precluded through the lease.
Yeah, thanks. I think, question is asked that now. Who has an answer?
Yes. Through you, Acting Mayor, yes, we're going to raise that in discussions.
Great. Now, Lovewood Site, as a group, we have a Survey Monkey account and we do a lot of surveys down there. We would be more than happy to work with the council or someone on the council who is voting professionally. If you would like us to tailor a survey with some important questions for council would like to know as well, not just questions like to the public of use in the area. So if there's someone in council who wants to chat with me about a survey we do down there, so it's you'll get information maybe you guys want as well.
Sure. I mean, I think from that. So I'll just give my thoughts on that question is that the administration will conduct consultation broadly in line with the proposed lease and seek feedback. But as, I guess, a representative group of your area, I'd be keen to see what sort of survey you develop and the answers that you get. But I'd be inclined not to have us dictate to you what those questions would be. I think for it to be really a community response, we let you provide that to us, yeah.
We're cool with that. That's great. No, I think that basically does it. Commercial exclusion. Will to conduct a survey. Yep, that's great.
Perfect.
Thanks.
No worries. Thanks very much. So that is item 12.
Well, I should ask Barb something.
No,
I'm good. There we go.
Okay, thank you. So that item will be considered shortly. We just have one item before that. Councillor Mudge, you've got a question?
Yeah, I just had a quick question.
Sure, you're going to come back now.
What is Lovewoodside's position? Do they have a formal position on the council depot being on that site?
One of the issues is that the initial lease which was done was it was meant to be community land, and at some stage, many years ago, Barb can tell you, council actually owns a piece of land there, actually owns a house-sized block of land, but they fenced off an area six times that size and just put it as a depot there. The very strong community feeling is that that's rather industrial and that area gets used and we have dumped bitumen and all sorts of industrially sort of stuff down there, which is not very good. And we would love to see that area basically be a recreational community space, open space. Car parking is definitely needed down there, having the Amy Gillett go through it. But I think there's probably a view of a limited sort of depot, but the size of that it takes up at the moment depends what the functionalities and stuff are. But we do think it's a lovely entrance into Woodside, and for it to be kind of industrial is quite a negative. for that part of town. Yeah. Considering there are other areas of council land that could be depots and this quarries and other things, you could use. Yeah.
Thank you again. If you just turn the mic off before you. Perfect. Okay. All right. So if no one else wishes to speak in the public forum, last chance. No. Okay, so we'll move on. We have no presentations tonight, no questions on notice. We do have one motion on notice from Councillor Mudge, so I'll pass it to you to speak to your motion.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I mean, this motion is pretty self-explanatory. It congratulates the Albanese Labor government on the successful re-election and also our two federal MPs. The main one is the Rebecca Sharkey MP. It's interesting that we've got a Labor MP in the seat of Sturt, which covers the suburbs of Ross Trevor, Woodford, and Taringa. So I think it's interesting situation. There's been some change there. Potentially interesting to see what Claire Carterhan, who's a new member, their approach will be to the proposed boundary change, not that it's really a federal issue. So this motion, I guess, is just one of congratulation. It acknowledges Council's continuing commitment to the priorities of the current federal government as per their platform to a local government, including road infrastructure investment, which includes something like about $500 million commitment to Great Adelaide Region Bypass, which at a previous meeting we've endorsed and is consistent with our strategic plan, climate action, health, education and regional development. And it outlines that it's really good to have stable and collaborative federal government in terms of delivering long-term projects for our region. Part of the motion asks for the acting mayor to write to various politicians who have been returned, including the Prime Minister, including returned and newly elected senators who cover our area as well. Forget them. And probably the final one is just a brief congratulatory statement on Council's website and social media channels. I will make a comment that there is a pretty strong precedent for this. I think there are a number of mayors and councils that have already published in social media circles just commitments in this area. It's my motion is not a partisan motion. Just, I think, something that is good for this council to do to foster those relationships with our federal government and federal members of parliament. So I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Mudge. Would someone like to second the motion? Councillor Osterstock, do you wish to speak to it?
No.
Anyone else like to speak to the motion? No? No need for a right of the Okay, with debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. Those against? That motion is carried. We will move on to item 12.1, Minister Sovereign Administration reports now. She's about Station Road Woodside and the proposal to go out to consultation regarding lease. CEO, do you have any new information you'd like to provide the chamber?
No.
Can someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor Herman, and up first, would you like to speak to
the The movement's slightly amended form, noting 3, that Council undertake community consultation, including direct consultation with Woodside Chamber of Commons. Now, make that point, you may recall in the last 12 months, the Chamber came in and presented to Council a master plan for Woodside. So they have big interest in the area. So, and it mentions in the report that we'll do consultation, but I thought it would be a very good thing if we directly went to the Chamber of Commons to get their input. I did have some questions which I'll just run through. I did raise the issue on page in the lease. Pick that up. Page in the report, page 50. I thought it was the lease was a bit one-sided. First of all, it's a 99-year lease, which is extremely long. Our our great grandchildren might be around when that happens. But the department can resume the lease if they want the land for for road construction for future rail transport purposes. So they have a right to break the lease. The same is not there for the council, and I just question, and doesn't need to be incorporated here, but when the negotiations occur, whether we could have a review period, maybe after 21 years, to see if the lease is still current, meeting the needs of everybody. So if you could take that on board, the CEO, as a point of discussion. And there was one other point. I did raise it about the use of, and presented tonight, Mr. Freeman raised the point of having a sausage sizzle on the commercial. They're selling for a profit, and the lease currently sort of excludes any commercial activity. Now, you and I might not think that's commercial, but some smart lawyer might say you can't use that. So I'd ask you to raise that in the discussions to exclude community groups. Community groups raising funds there by the sale of goods and services. I think that would be a remiss if we didn't ask for that to be calculated. And again, thank the administration for this report, like in the elephant's gestation period, or even longer. So at least it's before us now, and we'll go to public consultation, which is a good move. So I ask you to support the motion.
Councillor Grant, you'd like to second the motion?
Yeah, I would, but just to begin with, perhaps Councillor Herman would consider a slight change. It's the Woodside Commerce Association Incorporated.
Oh, wrong name.
Is the name of the body.
Sorry.
Blimey, let in.
So,
I'm sure it's clear for the motion that you're talking about.
Get it right. Yeah, quite happy.
So, Association Incorporated.
Yes.
Sure, it's a bit. Thank you.
So you're happy to incorporate those?
Yes, yes.
And you want a second motion?
Yes. If I may, acting mayor.
Wish to speak to
you? Yeah, just briefly, thank you. The members of the Woodside community who've had custody of this site since the 1970s have put an enormous amount of work in, and it is a beautiful site, and I encourage people to visit it, take your lunch and around the community gardens. You won't find me on the BMX track, but it's certainly well used.
Why not?
I want to live. But it's a beautiful site with landscaping, seating, walks. And the only comment I'll make is in the report it mentions maintenance on the site of council in the order of garden weed maintenance, $6,500 a year, and up about $20,000 maintenance. I'm sure the community group would probably come to some amicable arrangement because they don't receive any funds from us to maintain the site. And of course, many other sporting grounds and that receive council money to maintain their facilities. I think the money would go a long way with that group. It's just a comment, but anyway, I commend the motion. I thank the administration for negotiating. It's an extremely favourable result with the state government to buy this land. It's very expensive indeed.
Councillor Scully.
Thank you, through your acting mayor. I'm wondering if the mover would consider one more amendment. I was wondering if we could just add in and love Woodside.
Happy to do that.
They've been the proponents, so I didn't think it's necessary to include it, but yeah.
And
make it quite clear.
And Councillor Grant, you're happy to accept, so leave the meeting, accept that variation.
Thank you. Can I also
ask a question or speak?
Yeah, I have a question.
Sure.
Is fundraising considered a commercial venture?
Personally, not sure. I have to check that.
Okay, because my understanding would be if they're selling sausages, a community group doing a sausage sizzle, that's fundraising.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
Yeah.
But there are, like, for example, the halfway event we had, I think we had commercial operators.
Access to the electrical outlets at the moment, is that correct?
Is that going to help you make the decision? Is that correct? Not sure.
It was around going to the next step. So I'm conscious we do have a requirement to seek certificates of compliance for groups using council managed land on a case by case basis. I just want to get some clarification.
The CEO just maybe, when I get through the consultation process, maybe we can find out more about that. My memory serves me correctly. I recall with the angle at the event there were generators. So
perhaps not.
But it's something I think we can explore as part of the consultation. Anyone else like to speak to the item? Yeah, Councillor Roach.
Thank you, Acting Mayor. Look, I'm 100% in support of this motion. We obviously have to go out for community consultation because of our policy. I think this is a really good win for this council and for the community. I'm not sure what the valuation is of that particular group of parcels of land.
$694,000.
Okay, a lot of money. Sorry, I have agenda.
Written down there.
Okay.
All right, let's just live.
If we had to buy it, it would be very expensive. So I think this is a really good outcome. It's been in community use for many years now. It provides some certainty and it provides the ability to use the land and I guess improve the land in such a way that that is consistent with its current use. So things like public toilets can be contemplated, potentially fundraising activities, things like that. So I would be interested in seeing what the outcome of any assessment is of its use as a depot. But I think it's a really good proposal, and I think this is a really good outcome. And thanks to council staff who have negotiated on this one so far.
Anyone else like to speak to anybody? Councillor Herman, do you need a roll for a while?
Just to say, the general support for the concept around the room, and I'm sure the residents of Woodside will be most grateful if the motion's passed.
Okay, debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We'll move on to item 12.2, attendance of the NGA for 2025. Maybe.
I have a question, and
sure.
Yes, it was remiss of me to create a conflict on this item earlier. But I also want to. More just the way it's set out in general, I had an opportunity to speak to it before the decision is made, just to highlight a few considerations.
No, it depends on the nature of the conflict you decide to declare. And I mean, that's a personal decision. If you declare a material conflict, you need to leave the room. It'll stop. So, no. Whereas if you declare a general conflict, you have a choice of whether you stay in the room, but that's you.
I believe I will need to declare a material conflict. But is there a way that we can facilitate through the meeting to...
No. But I can maybe articulate some thoughts once you leave the room.
Sure.
Well, do you want to... No, I'm correct, yes?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
You can suspend.
Okay, so we could suspend formal meeting procedures for you to provide the chamber with some information in relation to the item, and then you could leave after that.
Yeah, that's
with the leave for the approval.
Yeah, so I need to seek leave of the meeting to suspend meeting procedures to enable Councillor Chia to provide some information in relation to this item. We agree?
I still think
that that's on dangerous ground in terms of conflict of interest. The rule of thumb is a person who has a material conflict of interest, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Gill, can play no part whatsoever in a decision-making process, ask any questions, allude to the item of business that the council's to consider. They can't. That's why we have a conflict of interest provision.
And the difference with what we vote for people is that there's no one written into the motion before you speak. So that is why there is a difference. And that, yeah, the council has to stop that. I mean, again, it's your personal choice. I'll pass over to you to declare.
Let's ask the question, does the administration have any additional information that they need to provide?
Well, I think you need to leave and I might provide some additional information.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Let's do that. All right, yes, so the material conflict of interest for item 12.2 is then they receive a benefit as part of the decision that's made and they're going into the chamber.
So I think that was in relation to, you might recall last year, Councillor Tudor chose alternate ways to get there to minimise costs and the accommodation as well, to minimise costs to the elected body, or the not the elected body, but the organisation as a whole, and I think he just wanted to articulate that again. That is, I'm not going to say that for certain, but I anticipate that was probably the reason he really wanted to say something. Yes.
No, that's a question. Yes. Thanks, through you, Acting Mayor. So that means that while we would be approving $4,700, we may not be spending that.
Correct. Yeah, that would be the upper limit. All right, would someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor Grant, would you like to move?
Yeah, I'd like to move the item as shown on the screen.
Would you like to speak to the item?
Just briefly, I think it's important that we're represented at the General Assembly. I think Councillor Chief has shown himself capable of applying himself to the task and quite economical in his means of attending. I'm sure he'll emulate that again. I think it's worth sending someone to this and to vote on our behalf for part of the bigger community.
Would someone like to second the item? Councillor Osterstock, do you like to speak to him?
No.
Okay, Councillor Pascal.
Thank you, and through you, Acting Mayor, I'd just like to let the Chamber know that I will also be attending the conference, but I'm self-funding myself. And I had discussed this with Councillor Cheetah because we felt that we could do quite a bit in setting up ministerial meetings like we did last time. I also found it really beneficial being a part of the voting and the debate and hearing what is going on nationally, and that's why I'm self-funding myself. I would just like to ask the administration that when the motions come out, I did notice last year that the Chamber had quite a bit of enthusiasm for those motions, for what they wanted supported, and I was very proud to be able to present our votes on behalf of the Council. But I would really like to see us have a concerted workshop on those motions, and also that the Chamber is really clear if you are voting against a motion, whoever is in there representing us needs to be really clear about our reasons for it, because we can be asked to speak as to why we are against that motion. So that's all I really want to say. I am mindful also that there's not many workshops left between now and conference.
I'm just going to seek a question clarification from yourself and then the administration. You're self-funding, but are you going to represent council?
Well, my assumption was that I would register still as a councillor, even though I'm paying for myself. Is that not?
I know. I'm guessing so you would potentially go to meetings representing the council.
Oh, I was going to.
And then just thinking through this question, administration will be: do we actually still you're self-funding, but do we still need to, I guess, approve or endorse Councillor Pascali as a representative of the council to the MDA?
Okay. Should I leave the chamber? It's a general conflict of interest.
We wouldn't have a quorum. Well, we could have separate decisions if that's necessary. It's kind of up to you. If you had a question.
Seven. The council has to endorse. My question is, doesn't the council have to endorse an elected member as the voting in the council's
vote? Yeah, so that would be Councillor Cheetham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he would be a bit like in previous, we have had...
I misread that.
So, but we have on previous occasions had multiple councillors go.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to confirm whether it's a requirement to still endorse Councillor Pascali as attending, representing us in a formal motion, even though she's still... So I guess what's the answer to that?
I think what you could is that in that you're noting Council Pascali as a team, which is not going to be very sensible to the process, and she's not voting, and that's the chair of the vote. We need to know that she's a good hand, so she knows that she's a team.
So what would they suggest?
So I'm just suggesting that we amend the motion. Dot point two becomes notes, council notes that Councillor Pascali is attending the conference.
Yeah, so
that will then be a general conflict of interest.
Yeah. Move around a second.
Yeah, we're actually close.
This is just a variation.
Yeah, so we have the wording up and we'll see approval from the mover and seconder.
Thank you, Mayor. I think it's important that the council endorses it. Heaven forbid that if there's an accident or an injury, the insurance issue could arise if you don't formally appoint you. If you're going by yourself, you're on your own.
Okay, so the revised wording on the screen is point two. Notes that Councillor Pascali is attending the conference at her own cost, but not in a personal capacity. She would still be there as a labels councillor, but would not be the voting delegate. That would be Councillor Cheetah. So the mover, Councillor Grant, you're happy to accept that as a variation. Councillor Ostock, you're happy to. So just leave the meeting to accept that as a variation. Yeah, so that variation is accepted. Does anyone else wish to contribute to the debate? Yeah, you can speak earlier.
No, just a procedural matter.
Yeah.
You'll have to note that. Oh, you're putting it in the general conflict of interest. Yeah, that's right.
And as I say, I have a general conflict of interest with this matter. It's not a material conflict of interest, as I'm not getting any material benefit from attending the conference through the Adelaide Council. So I will stay in the chamber of vote.
Thank you. Does anyone else like to contribute to the debate? Councillor Grant, you need a right of reply. Okay, with the debate closed, all those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. We could get Councillor Chair back in the room. Member Councillor Cheetham. So we will move on to item 12.3. Dr. Gill, do you have any new information you'd like to provide? Okay, we did have a workshop in this item as well. Would someone like to move something? Councillor Grant, as a representative, would you like to speak to the item?
Indeed, yeah, I'll put it as on the screen and I would like to speak. Thank you, Acting Mayor. So I've been a member of this board since this chamber appointed me in January. The annual business plan, I think it's a really good read. There's a lot to be done there. There's a lot of ambition in it. I think it's excellent. I think Mr. Rob Gregory is certainly up to the task. He's highly capable. And he's appeared before this chamber a number of times. Just a couple of highlights, and I think are important, developing a master plan for the Brinkley site. I don't know if anyone else has been out there. It's a huge site. Developing landfill gas management, the release of methane from landfill is a major issue. So they're tendering to get a contractor to capture it. At the moment, the plan is just to flare it off, burn it, to convert methane to carbon dioxide. It's less harmful to the atmosphere. A couple of other things. They serve four councils, but they also serve or do business with other councils to commercial advantage, and they seem very good at finding business opportunities. One matter of interest is developing a business case on circular economy opportunities of green waste. We need really good cost benefit analysis for the processing of green waste from a Burrow and Bogo scheme up and running. But that needs to be extremely well informed, I think. There's other stuff going on, constructing a new admin centre. The current one is rudimentary. The toilet block there reminds me, well, it's identical to the places I stayed in the goldfields in Western Australia in the 1980s. There is investment needed on the site, and that will happen. It was asked at the workshop, what happens if the landfill actually ends? Because that's a big part of the business case. If the landfilling ever did end, and it's certainly not going to happen soon,
1990s
talk? Yeah, possibly. It'd be a long time, but the point is we wouldn't be paying millions of dollars in landfill levy. We'd be ahead. And it's our subsidiary. We'd simply support it as a resource recovery centre. So it doesn't change. It'd be better. We'd be better off. There's no doubt about it. We don't make money out of burying stuff. That's certainly the case. And the authority does a lot more than burying waste. It runs Heathfield and it runs other resource recovery centres. And there's more to come, because I think there's a lot of opportunities to do what we do better. And I think Bob Gregory's well-placed to do that. So I commend the motion to the chamber.
Thank you, Councillor Grant. Councillor, can you just turn up the mic? Someone like to second the motion? Councillor Mudge, do you wish to speak to it?
Thank you, Acting Mayor. I support this business plan. The presentation that we had weeks ago, I think, on this business plan and budget and long-term financial plan was really good. It's quite clear to me that we're in good hands with the board and this regional subsidiary managing our waste, and that we're moving in the right direction towards reducing waste and recycling waste rather than just planning to continuously put it into landfill. So I can have a motion.
Thank you, Councillor Mudge. Would anyone else like to speak? Name for a roll for filing. Debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Move on to item 12.4, which was a confidential item and a renewal of duration. Dr. Bill, do you have any new information you'd like to put away the chamber? So I'd like to move something in relation to this item. Councillor Grant, would you like to move?
As printed on the screen. Thanks.
Don't need to speak to
it. I don't need to speak.
And seconder, Councillor Cheater. Anyone like to contribute to the debate? Yes, Councillor.
Question. This particular item is 3 years old. I sought advice from the administration as to whether it could be released. I in turn sought advice from East Waste and they said no. So my question is, what is the half-life of this confidentiality? Is it still going to be confidential in the year 2050? Will it always be on our list? We've got to do something about somehow or other. We're not having an answer. So when is it possible that confidentiality will be lifted?
I guess that would be guided by the East Waste. But it could be that our representative might that conversation in the ward. But Dr. Gill, do you have any information about it?
I just think
through you, acting mayor, I can't say what the half-life is, but it's advice that this information is not currently, there's confidential information of a commercial nature that's not currently in the public domain.
Yes.
If that still applies at any point, that would satisfy the requirements in the Act for confidentiality.
Yeah, well, I'm not happy with the answer. I understand the reason. It just adds to our list of confidential items. Still remain confidential as of the 30th of June each year. We'll get this list growing longer and longer. We have in front of us a report on the appointment of the chairman of again, I understand why the documents now have to be confidential, but they're going to be there forever. So how do we address that? Get them off the list.
Question. I think two points I'll make. One is that I think we'll just let the body become more proactive at releasing
this.
Well, we always have it really being mindful of when we can release information. And as Dr. Gill said to me just a moment ago, where he was speaking, and that the list is significantly reduced in recent times.
Not very long. Pretty long. Thank you.
All right. Did anyone else like to speak to the item? Councillor Gray, right of reply.
Thank you. Just to address Councillor Herman's questions there. Thank you for those. Firstly, it's an oxymoron to talk about half-life and confidentiality because it's an absolute thing. It either is or it isn't. It doesn't say diminish. But I guess the answer being it will no longer be confidential when it's no longer commercially relevant information. How long that takes, I don't know, but eventually it will be of no commercial relevance. And I guess that's what it will come down to, but we can't risk releasing commercially sensitive information.
Okay, the debate closes. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Move on to item 12.5, our draft LTFP and AVP. Mr. Lewis, do you have any new or additional information you'd like to provide the Chamber?
Thank you, Chair. There's some more information and some clarification. The only business plan is brought in conjunction with the long-term financial plan this time, which hasn't been practiced in previous years. The long-term financial plan supports the explanation why this becomes financially sustainable after the last two financial statements have shown significant deficits. The way in which we've achieved that financial sustainability long-term financial plan is a combination of putting up rates more than the CPI, but also through the reduction of the new and upgrade capital programs. This leads to some changes in the process that we've gone through in previous years, where we've had ongoing programs, particularly around footpaths, toilets, and play spaces. And what we're trying to set out in the annual business plan and the long-term financial plan is a slightly different approach, where in next financial year, we'll look at these programs and look to develop a framework which will look at evaluation and prioritization criteria, which will enable a more sustainable approach to these to be taken. We also note that in the current budget, the way it's been formulated is we don't have funding for council events around the Tour Down Under. So the council activities around that are not budgeted for. And that is something we would need to highlight in the consultation process to ensure that the community are aware of that. So that's sort of general items. Very specifically, we also talk about the FOGO project, which council received a briefing on at the previous workshop. So currently, we have not changed the budget that sits for FOGO, which was $380,000, which was half funded through grants. So it was $190,000 cost to council and $190,000 grant. That remains in the current budget. However, we've had advice from East Waste that they They do not have high-level competence in the previous modelling that's been done with them. They've questioned how that, you know, if that's correct or not. So we're considering that, well, we're looking at an alternative approach to that project. And this is a staged approach where we would, just make sure I get this right. So we would extend the current program. We ran a trial program for about 440 properties. Oh, no, sorry, it was about 600 properties in Woodside and around Woodside. And currently 440 of those are still on weekly FOGOs. And our intention next year is to maintain those on the weekly FOGO collection and expand that to by another 2,200. So that basically the collection cycle, that Tuesday collection cycle, that currently those 400 are on, the whole of that cycle, which includes about 2,600 properties, would get the weekly FOGO collection. So that's basically Balhanna, Oakbank, Woodside, Charleston, and Lobethal. That whole area would go on to this program where we switch the collection around so that they get a weekly FOGO and a fortnightly garbage collection. This is intended to actually generate enough data and enough information so that we can reanalyze the proposal and come to an agreement around what we expect the cost to be. An agreement with East Waste and a consultant will take have done the analysis before. Then we will be in a position to actually bring back to council a report and an expected cost to actually extend the FOGO as was originally intended across all the townships. There is a small additional expense in this approach, which we think is about $50,000. So that $50,000 is the number of activities that we believe need to be done to launch this sort of extended trial approach. Some of the budgeted monies, which is $380,000 currently in the budget, some of those will be expended as well in extending this program. But we don't think we're committing to anything materially beyond what was envisaged, but we are staging it at this point in time. We don't know how long we're going to run this trial for. We're hoping it will be a number of months, you know, 3 or 4 months, but the plan is not at this point that far advanced. We can certainly give those sort of details. But that's the process we've got to the moment. We're working with East Waste, talking to WorldTech, we're dealing with our waste guys as well to try and come up with ways so we can keep this project moving forward. I think that's everything I have.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
When do you think we'll get the final analysis and cost? Is it likely to be before our budget is adopted, or is it down the track?
So the idea is that we'll have the extended capture of everyone that we normally collect from on Tuesdays, do the switch, and then after a number of months, using that data to actually inform what the long-term costs will be. So it's not really modelling, it's actually real data, and we can then base decisions on it. Yeah. Would someone like to move something in relation to this item? Councillor
Ossoff,
what would you like to move? Would you like to speak to the item?
No, thank you.
Would you like to second the item? Councillor Grant, do you want to speak to the item?
Yeah, just briefly, thank you. Acting Mayor, and thanks to the administration for pulling this together. It's always an enormous job. Well done, and thanks very much. Just a brief comment on Mr. Lewis's discussion of the FOGO scheme. I think a staged introduction is wise in any event, because I understand there's an enormous amount of educational input that helped make it a success, and I think that would be really, really hard to do for every township at once. And I believe from people I've spoken to, the information associated with the FOGO scheme was a big part of what made it work, because people found found out all that the errors that they've been making and placing items in the bin in the past, and finally got that right. So yeah, hopefully this works out to be the better approach in any case. But anyway, I commend the motion.
Councillor Chair, you'd like to speak to the motion?
Yes, I'll be supporting this motion. I guess just a couple of bits about the journey I wanted to highlight tonight. Now, both these draft documents, you know, I do truly believe the process we went through to get to this point as an executive body and administration, you know, we're really focused around financial sustainability. It was a real conversation that I think was had and was in the minds of people, not only from a sustainable perspective from our community's view, but also from bodies like SCOSA, which do consider how councils are sustainable. But also at the same time, really, I guess, keeps the lens on that we have expectations from our community and what we're going to deliver, how we're going to deliver it, and timeframes. And I think we've found the balance in that. You know, I won't pretend that rate rises are an easy conversation and not easy to be on the receiving end, need to pay for, and it's a responsibility of us now to talk with our community as well as get that communication back through consultation. But I think that's the beautiful thing about the process we do have. This is a draft. It is going to consultation. It will, correct me if I'm wrong, but it will go to consultation again at another stage. And I think that's really important that we present to our community what we're seeing as the way forward to deliver the expectation and be sustainable. And we'll now get the community to have that opportunity to give us their feedback through that lens as well. So I commend the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Chair. Just as clarification, there's not two rounds of consultation with ABP.
Yeah, sorry.
Councillor Pascal.
Thank you. Through you, Acting Mayor. A question to Mr. Lewis. Do I still have time to send you some copy corrections? I was meaning to do that before tonight's meeting and I just realised.
Yeah, that'll be captured on the point four, as long as they're minor in nature.
Well, there is actually one section of how we measure success, I think is a really, I'm entering the debate now. how we measure success, I think, will be something that people really want to look at. And I was concerned that read very jargonish. It wasn't completely clear. And I think we need to consider how we need to consider all levels of literacy in our community, and possibly if we could look at that section. I'm really keen to get this out. I've been really frustrated over this budget, which has been expressed in workshops. So I'm really quite keen to get it out to the community so that I can start having a more open and honest dialogue with the community, because as we know that I live amongst people which have some very high expectations of what we're going to deliver for them. And I think I'm just keen to be able to put something in front of them and start talking. So
thank you. And you talked about measuring success. I actually had a chat with Mr. Lewis earlier today about that very point. And be happy to share what you said around the consultation of them. So I guess my point was, it'd be good for us as an elected body to have some input into what those final success measures might look like, and if we could be afforded an opportunity prior to the final endorsement to do that. Councillor Lynch.
Question and then to the debate. The question is, what is the deadline for those minor changes? Because I too have some additional minor comments which could be incorporated.
So through the chair, we will publish. So we need a few days before the consultation starts to edit it before then. But we also got the consultation process, and doesn't even finalise until potentially mid-June. So any feedback you've got, anything you give us in the next few days, we'll edit the reports before it goes to consultations.
Yep.
And anything else, stop it, please send it through. And it's always going to be considered and factored in whenever we can.
Thanks. That's much. Look, I just realised I've got another one. There was some mention of of councillor-led micro briefings, discussions and stuff. What is the process for most of that? I forgive you, I probably wasn't at the workshop that's discussed it.
Through the chat, we'll be sending as soon as we know this is adopted. The next few days, we'll be sending out some comments from the community and consultation team on how we can do that.
So we'll keep that.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Look, just entering the debate. We endorse this. We spend a lot of time and effort on into. The consideration of both the annual business plan, the budget, and fairly importantly, the long-term financial plan. Members would be aware that we haven't been totally rudderless in terms of long-term financial plan, but we've got a long-term financial plan that's reasonably out of date. But I think we've revised it in terms of councils. So it's really good that we've now got a document. And I thank all the staff for their contribution and also the members who contributed as well.
Thank you, Councillor Martin. And I would like to contribute, Councillor Herman.
Yes, thank you, Acting Mayor. I have contributed some suggestions for improvements and minor errors which the administration has taken on board. I still have a couple more that I'd need clarification on, but I'll get back in 2 days. Okay. I did have a question, though, just in. Apart from the numbers, I was quite surprised on page 170 that we have 1,426 cat registrations in the area. 1,426, so I saw the budget registration. And my question was the director aware of that? And the short answer was no. So that's the short answer. Now, according to the Dog and Cat Management Board, there are approximately 37% of households own a cat. That's across the state, 37%. And according to the papers, we have about 16,000 residential properties. And based on that, averages 5,900 cats. And we sort of say 1,400. It's about 4,500 maybe unaccounted for. I'll raise that later on, but in the budget, how do we address that issue? I think that's important, right? What raise it?
Absolutely, that's topic.
Yeah, no, that's part of the
place. The
other point, I don't know if members know, is that the LTFP is 14 years now. But we've always talked about a 10-year appointment. We've extended out to 14, which I think is a good thing, because particularly in capital issues, the longer the plan, perhaps the better, and give you time to make some adjustments. So. The initiative, I think, is well, I appreciate the longer-term plan. So I'll be supporting the relationship with public consultation.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to you guys? Councillor Brown, Councillor Osterstock.
No, it's fine.
Okay, debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Okay, so we have nothing under item 13, administration reports or correspondence for noting. Does anyone have a question without notice? No questions without notice. We do have one motion without notice that I'm aware of, and I've taken into account the voting principles for that, and we accept that motion without notice from Councillor Pascali. So we'll just get it up on the screen. Give members a minute to read through that, and then I'll pass to Councillor Scullin to speak to them.
I'd like to declare a conflict of interest with this question. Sure. I have a general conflict of interest. I am a resident of Woodford, and this motion is concerning Hamilton Hill, which is in Woodford. I will not be receiving any material benefit from this motion, so therefore I will speak to it and stay in the chamber and vote.
Thank you. Has anyone had a chance to read wording? Councillor Scullin, would you like to speak to the motion?
Yes, thank you, and through you, Acting Mayor. This is a motion without notice because it only came to my attention this morning, but earlier, about 4 or 5 days ago, extraordinary construction went into liquidation. There are two main construction companies engaged by Kite Development, and Extraordinary is one of them. They have quite a few homes. So all of our homes on Lewis Walk, which we are looking at getting lighted for, they were Extraordinary constructions. I have been talking extensively with property owners who have had Extraordinary construction build their homes, and they have had quite a few outstanding issues once there was a handover. So they've still been dealing with Extraordinary despite the fact that they have moved in. So these are our current ratepayers who are having issues with this company, and Kite have been trying to sort this problem, but it has been ongoing for some of these residents. I also think it's a concern when a building company goes into liquidation and they are building a considerable number of properties in our area. So this motion just simply asks for the CEO to write to Kite Property and just get an update on what the situation is, how they're handling that, so that we can give some assurance to residents should they reach out to us in the circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you. Would someone like to second the motion? Councillor Chi, would you like to speak to it? Anyone like to speak to the item? No, if you like to find it. Debate closed. All those in favour, please indicate. That is carried unanimously. Any other motions without notice? Move on to reports. 17.1, we have Councillor Herman Pascali, who have provided some items. And then 17.2, Councillor Herman, regarding the GRFMA. Is there anything you'd like to report back from that external body?
No. The public consultation, I had 2 days on the stormwater management plan, one on the 29th of April and one on the 2nd of May. The I attended one on 29th for a year and a half before the forum. We had 4 people. It's not a topic that people are discussing at the moment, and maybe they start discussing when they see a number attached to things. It usually wakes people up.
Thank you. CEO?
Yeah,
sure.
Thank you, and through you, Acting Mayor, just a couple of items, just a further update on our recruitment process for the director. As I talked about a little while ago, there's over 50 applicants for that role. We narrowed it down to 5 shortlisted candidates. There's a preferred candidate, so I'm working with that preferred candidate. And I'm looking at making an announcement, hopefully this time next week. So I'll keep you posted on that. Just a very quick update on our Woodside pool. There's at the moment construction is well underway. Lots of earthworks have been completed, footings have been poured, and next steps are installation of water features, pumphouses, and electrical, and then. Rocks and concrete slabs will follow.
It's a good question. Do you anticipate that being completed by the opening of the swimming season?
Yes.
Yeah,
most definitely. Have you any other
questions to the CEO? No, we'll move on. No reports of any committees, which brings us to the confidential items. So thank you, Joseph, Georgia, and those online for joining us tonight. See you again soon. So the first...